guys can take your Bibles, and we're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And in verse 10. So, New Year's resolutions are a popular topic this time of year, right? People make all kinds of plans for change in their life, whether they want to lose weight or exercise more, make better use of their time, spend more time on a hobby or a passion, learn a new skill, whatever it is, right? There's all kinds of different resolutions out there. And while it's good to have goals and it's good to have resolutions that will make a positive impact in your life, the absolute best thing that any one of us can do to make their life better is to grow in our relationship with God. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief," referring to the adversary, the devil, "cometh not, but," so the only reason he comes, "is to steal and to kill and to destroy." So the only reason the adversary shows up is to make life worse, right? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then it says, "I am come," referring to Jesus Christ, "that they might have life," and that's Zoe, life in all of its manifestations, "and that they might have it more abundantly." So God sent his Son so that we could have life in all of its different manifestations, whatever life means, and have it more abundantly, right? And so that's a very stark contrast, right? The devil wants your life to be miserable, and God wants your life to be beyond awesome, right? That's what he wants for your life. Who would you rather have a relationship with? Someone who wants to make your life miserable, or someone who wants your life to be beyond awesome, right? Exceeding abundantly above. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. In 3 John 1, 2, we don't have to go there, but it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers," right? And that's revelation from God. He wants, above all things, for us to be healthy and to be prosperous, right? And those are two really great things for our lives, right? To be in health and to be prosperous. That's what God wants. He wants the very best for your life. And so we should want a better relationship with him. And there are two simple things that we can do to grow in our relationship with God, right? Two simple things. One is to pray, and the other is to read God's word, to get into his word more. We're going to take a look at the first one, which is prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, it says, a good retemory verse, right? It's easy to remember. "Pray without ceasing," which basically means pray a lot. Pray a lot. You know, this is God's will for your life. It's in his word. It says pray a lot. He wants you to do this. And to pray really simply means to talk to God, who is your heavenly Father, right? He is your heavenly Father. Talk to him in the same way you would talk to any earthly father figure that you trust, right? You need advice, you go to your dad or someone who represents your dad, right? That's the relationship God wants with you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to open up to him and talk to him. And that's what praying is. "Hey, God, I need help with this. Hey, God, thanks for doing this for me. Hey, God, I'm feeling sad. Can you help me out? Can you comfort me?" Whatever it might be, God wants you involved, or he wants to be involved in your life, right? He wants to be involved in your life. And you do that by praying. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. A couple pages over, 1 Timothy 2, 1. Right? And that's such a big thing that making more time for makes a huge difference in your life. is prayer. I was sick with COVID, had lots of time on my hands, and I spent a lot of it praying. Right? Up until leading up to the holidays and the Day in the Word, we had those 12 hours of prayer daily where people would post their prayer lists. And spending time in prayer is so important. It helps so much. And it's been a real blessing for my life to do it more. In 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And this is a figure of speech where different words, multiple words, meaning the same single common thing, are used for emphasis. And so here, four different things are used, which all basically mean prayer, right? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. So God is emphasizing this here, that we should be praying for all people, right? For all kinds of people. All of these words relate to prayer. We have the more general term prayer already in there. And the other three words have a little bit more nuance to them, right? So a supplication is like a specific request. It's an asking or a begging earnestly. It's like, God, will you please do this? Will you please take care of this? That's what a supplication is. An intercession is to intervene on behalf of someone else or to pray for one another, right? So intercession means I'm praying for you, right? A supplication is you're making a request for yourself, maybe, and intercession is specifically when you're praying for someone else. Hey, will you please heal this person up? Will you please take care of this person? Can you help this person find a car? Can you help this person find a job? All of that is intercession, and we can pray for each other. And then giving of thanks is an expression of thanks, thankfulness, appreciation, or gratitude, right? So it doesn't always have to be that you're asking God for something. You can also tell God that you're thankful for the things that he's done or doing in your life, right? You can say, thanks, God, for healing me up. Thanks, God, for making it sunny and beautiful outside for me to enjoy, right? And that's just a way to talk to God. It doesn't always have to be requests. It can be thankfulness, too. And that's a good way to keep the conversation going, right? Is to just thank God for the things that he's done. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. So prayer helps to build a relationship with God, because it's hard to have a relationship with anyone if you never talk to them, right? That's really hard. If you never communicate with someone, what kind of relationship do you end up having with them, right? A pretty empty one, a pretty narrow one. So the more that we talk with God and share things with him, the bigger our relationship grows. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful or anxious for nothing. So don't worry about it. But in everything, right? So we're to be anxious about nothing. And rather in everything, in contrast, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Well, there they go again. Many words for prayer. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It's so huge we don't even understand it. Will keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right? So rather than worry about something or stress about it, we can ask God for help with thanksgiving. He will provide an answer so that you can be peaceful and at ease. Right? That's his promise. That's his end of the bargain. Is you go to him, you ask him for that thing that's causing you some trouble or causing you some mental pressure. He promises to answer so that you can be at peace and at ease. Right? That's the kind of God he is, right? He didn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants us to have a life more abundantly and to have it one that we enjoy and are peaceful in. Go to Jeremiah 29. Right? So that's something that we want to put more on in our own lives, that we pray a lot, that we talk it over with God, that we ask Him for help, that we ask Him for wisdom and guidance on things when we don't know what to do, which for me is all the time, right? And He will give us an answer that we can be peaceful about. Jeremiah 29:12. This is God talking to His people. It says, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you," which means I will hear you. Right? So we call upon God, we pray to Him, and He hears us. Verse 13, "And you shall seek me, and I'll be hiding somewhere. I'll be under the covers." Nope. It says, "You'll find me when you shall search with me with" what? "All your heart." That's right. So when we seek God, we should do so with all our heart. And God says, "You'll find me. I'll be there." Right? So we want to look for God with all of our heart. He hears us. He listens to us. And He will. You will find Him when you seek Him out in prayer. Right? When you give that thing to God, when you build a relationship with Him and share your heart with Him, He'll be there and He'll answer. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. Right? So, again, we just want to pray a lot. It'll really build your relationship with God. Make time to do it. Right? There's apps you can put on your phone so that every time you open it up, it reminds you of something. Right? That's a good thing to be reminded of. Right? Pray. And sometimes we might be busy doing other things. We've got chores to do. We've got a commute to make. We've got all kinds of things to, you know, put our hands to work with. And one of the things that we can do along the lines of praying is in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays." My spirit prays. So the Holy Spirit that we get when we get born again, one of the things that it can do is pray. And that prayer is by speaking in tongues. Right? Is our spirit perfect or not perfect? It's perfect. That's right. It's perfect. And so when our spirit prays, if it is perfect, then it is praying perfectly. Right? So speaking in tongues is perfect prayer. It's perfect prayer. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Yeah, you don't know what you're saying. It's in an unknown tongue. It's in a different language that you don't know. Verse 15, "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." I'll do both. "I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." So you can even sing in tongues, right? You're just humming along. You can sing in tongues. And that's just another form of speaking in tongues. But speaking in tongues is perfect prayer. And it's something that you just kind of can do by the Spirit, right? So you can do it while you're vacuuming, and you can do it while you're driving, and you can do it while you're out for a jog, right? It's something that you can incorporate that does not require a great deal of mental effort. And you can do lots of other things while you do it. Paul said that he thanked God that he spoke in tongues more than you all, right? More than everyone around him. In verse 4, it says, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself." Right? That means it builds himself up. And we know that we don't understand what we're saying, so we're not edifying or building up our brains, but we're building and edifying up, or edifying and building up our spirit. Right? It's a way to grow spiritually, to build yourself up spiritually and strengthen your relationship with God. So even if you don't have anything specific to pray for, you can speak in tongues. The Word of God says that it makes intercession for the saints. And that when you don't know what to pray for, you can speak in tongues because God knows what's going on and God takes care of it. So even if you don't know exactly what to pray for, you can speak in tongues. So praying and speaking in tongues a lot is a big way to grow with God. The other simple thing we can do is to get our heads into the Word more. Go to Job 23. Job 23, just before Psalms and Proverbs. Verse 11. Job 23:11. It says, "My foot hath held his steps." Right? Which basically means he walked the way that God wanted him to. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed or valued. I have valued the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Okay? So, Job valued God's word greater than the food he needed to eat every day just to survive. Right? That was the value he placed on God's word. If he didn't eat, he would eventually die. And he valued God's word higher than that. Which means that if he wasn't consuming and digesting God's word, to him it was like dying. Right? He knew that without God's word, he would be starving in his relationship with God. Okay? And without getting our heads into the word, without studying it, coming to fellowship, hearing teachings, without reading these collaterals or whatever else, we starve our relationship with God. Go to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Right? And so that's the kind of attitude that we want to have in our life, that this word of God is really important to me. It's important that I consume it, that I digest it, right? It's a figure of speech. He didn't actually eat God's word, right? But it was something that he took upon himself to get into every day. He consumed it. Chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did what? Eat thou. So everyone's eating God's word. Which means they're taking it in. They're consuming it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. I gobbled them up. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Right? So God's word was the joy and the rejoicing, joying again, of his heart. Right? So when we get into God's word, when we gobble it up, it leads to joy and rejoicing in our lives. And the reason it does that is because our life becomes happy and blessed. Because we're growing in our relationship with God. We're better understanding his will for our lives. Right? Go to 2 Timothy 2:15. If you happened upon someone's journal or diary, right, you could read it. And you would find out all about that person. Because that's what would be in a journal or diary, is their most intimate thoughts, the things that are most important to them. Right? And what we have in the Bible, in God's word, is like that. Right? It's what God wants us to know. It's what is important to God. It's what God wants for our lives. So it's our way to get to know God better. Right? Like if I found Hannah's journal in her room, she'd be so mad at me because I would read it and I would know all about her secret crushes and all the other stuff that's goes on in her life. Right? And I would know all about her. Well, it's that way with the Bible, right? If we get into God's word and we really understand it and study it, we get to know all about God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." And that's not in mathematics or English language arts or even the sciences. It's to study God's word. Study the word to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? To the end that we really understand God's word, rightly divided, and that we know what it says. Right? That's what God wants for our lives, because then we really know Him. Right? Then we really understand what His will is for us. And that can be anything, right? That can be reading the Bible directly, which is a very good idea. It can be reading books and studies from trusted sources, right? We've got lots of those. It can be listening to teachings from fellowships, right? There's lots of good online resources. We have our BibleFellowshipTeachings.org. PA Bible has a big resource. There's all kinds of camps and classes available on CD and MP3. So there's a lot of resources online and offline that you can use to get your head in the Word more, right? It's something that you can pop on your phone or listen to in the car or sit down by a cozy fire and read the Word. But God wants us to know it and to study it so that we can grow with Him. And we're going to close in Romans 10:17. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith, or believing, verse 17. So then faith, or believing, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our believing is a result of being taught what God's word says. Right, Dr. Werrell said it all the time. People can't go beyond what they're taught. They can't believe bigger than what they're taught. Right? So our believing is a result of what we're taught in God's word. And we learn God's word by spending time in it. Right? That's just what it takes. Right? Both prayer and God's word take some dedication and some time on our part. But that's how you grow a relationship. That's how you get to know somebody better. And the same is true with God. As we grow with God, it will be because we dedicate ourselves to spending more time in these two simple things, right? And as we grow with God, our believing grows. And as our believing grows, it turns into a super abundant, amazing life that God has promised.